She's Basically is a podcast all about my entrepreneurial journey and some of the things that I encounter along the way. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to have guest hosts weekly, and we're going to cover different topics, everything from business resources to self-development. We're going to talk about life, losses, wins, everything, everything, everything.
What does she do? I do everything. I move everything. Put that on my wedding ring. Put that on my baby name.
Welcome back to another episode of She's Basically the podcast. We are kind of on a schedule right now thanks to the pandemic, but I'm so excited on the line with a new guest this week. My guest this week is Kendra Quinn Ward, who is the owner of Z Luxury Brand. Kendra, how are you doing today?
I am well. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to do this interview with you.
Absolutely. I've just been, like, you've been on the top of my list as someone to talk to, and I've really just been watching as you've been navigating through the whole COVID pandemic, and I'm like, damn, I can't wait to talk to Kendra, because I know she has just so much to talk about business in general, but especially this time that we're going through, so I'm definitely excited to have you here today. Can you tell the audience more about what the Z Luxury brand is for those who are not local to Connecticut? Because I'm sure if you're in Connecticut, you already know what's going on.
Absolutely. So Z Luxury Brand was formed in 2013. We started off as a natural nail care salon offering mobile services and in-salon services to our community. And over the years, we've grown and flourished into a product-based business, additional services, jewelry, all kinds of amazing things. So Z Luxury is on the way to moving in a number of different directions. And I'm just so grateful for all of the support that I've received from Connecticut and, you know, across the country. It's been really awesome.
So that's just so beautiful. It's crazy to me because when I really think back when I started, you know, taking entrepreneurship seriously, and my initial venture was Bag Lady Boutique. I had like this vintage resale boutique. You're really one of the only people that I can go back and think, this person has had a business for a very long time. And I always saw you doing it. Like, it was never like a hustle. It was a legit business.
Yeah.
First time I was introduced to it. You're the first woman, you know, the first person I knew that had a brick and mortar, that had employees, that really just had this full package of actually being a businesswoman. So
yeah, yeah.
That really stands out to me. I remember I was definitely a client of Z Luxury. I absolutely went there and had to get the experience. It's a beautiful experience.
Thank you.
Of course. And then as an entrepreneur, when I started throwing events and curating different things for women, I had you as a vendor.
Yes.
So I've just always been a fan and always been interested in, you know, the way that you handle business. I love it. So right now, like you said, you have the salon, but because of the closures due to the stay-home mandates, that has been put on hold. So what have you been doing during this time?
Product production. And right. One of the things that I believe is so important is being prepared for when things are going to happen and you have no idea what's going to come your way. Preparation is key. There's a quote from Oprah Winfrey that says, I believe luck is preparation meeting opportunity. If you hadn't been prepared when the opportunity came along, you wouldn't have been lucky.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, putting yourself in a position to always be thinking about what's next. And fortunately, for Z Luxury, we were doing that. Now, 3 or 4 years ago, I can't say that, you know, that would have necessarily been the case. But there have been so many things that have happened during our 7 years of business that have kind of forced, you know, me to always be thinking about what's next and trying to build something bigger and better, not just for myself, but for my staff and for my community. And so, you know, this COVID situation happening and us having to close our doors and really start to move in that product production arena, it just was like we were ready for it and everything aligned. And here we are. So I'm really grateful for the fact that we had been moving in that direction for a few months so that we were ready, you know, to kind of take things and take flight.
Right. So now with the product, some of the products that you offer some not only natural, like whole foods products, but you also have like the candles. And I recall the candles being out before. Yes. So previously when you released the candles and you're still, you know, running your salon and, you know, doing, having these employees and everything, what was there a specific reason why you steered away from the product production and focused on the salon?
So I think it was just a matter of managing time. I'm getting better at that now. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, I'm sure you know this, life is Absolutely. Still happening while you're running a business, you know, and oftentimes, it's difficult to find that balance of work and life. And so I think there were times when I was not as focused as I needed to be in terms of putting product at the forefront, because I think that that is really important for most brands, you know, in terms of being able to grow. And so there would be, you know, months in which I would fall off. And that's a part of being, you know, an entrepreneur and being able to check yourself and say, okay, wait, you're slipping in this area. Let's step it up. And so I think that there has been in the last year and a half, there's been this real focus for myself and for the business, you know, to make sure that we are being very smart and working smarter and not harder, and trying to figure out different streams of income and being more consistent. And that is what's, you know, really important in terms of growing any business, is that consistency.
Right. And do you feel at all that some of that, you know, being more laser focused came with the fact that you did build a team and it wasn't just you providing these services?
Absolutely. I would not know where I would be without them, you know? So, and it's difficult because when you're opening, you're starting your business, it's yours, right? It's your baby, and you don't want to give it to anybody else. You don't trust anybody else with it, but it's so important for you to find those people that you can trust. I don't know where I would be without Jasmine and Kristen. They have been riding for me and Z Luxury for over 5 years. And they bring so much to the brand. They bring so much to the team. And it's so important for you to have those people around you who can, you know, not only help you grow, but you can help them grow and become bosses of, you know, themselves. And they have just been amazing. And being able to delegate different responsibilities to them has really helped the business grow.
Okay, so I wanna go back a little bit to the beginning of the Z Luxury brand. Like I said, my knowledge of you and Z Luxury was really, you've always been this boss to me. Like, I don't know any different. So give us a little bit of history about what prompted you to even, you know, dive into entrepreneurship. Did you see that growing up? It was something that was completely brand new for you. Like, how did it come about that you were going to have your own business?
So it was completely brand new. My mom was an educator. And I really didn't see any examples of Black female entrepreneurship in my community. Even when I was, you know, in my early 20s after college, I really didn't see that. And so it kind of happened just on a whim. I was a social worker and then became a systems of care consultant and trainer. And I was training and I was tired of working for folks and I was tired of people telling me what to do. And I wanted to do my own thing. I had no idea what that was going to be. When I was doing my undergrad, I actually went to cosmetology school and started doing nails, but it was just a side hustle. And I never thought of it as a career or opening a business. And then, you know, a light clicked and I said, I want to do something that I really enjoy. And it was something I loved. I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bottles of nail polish. I would paint my nails all the time. And it's funny because I recently looked back to some of my memories on Facebook, and there was a memory that popped up in like 2010 or 2011. And I had made this little makeshift nail polish stand in my apartment. I was living in Baltimore at the time. And someone commented and said, you should open a nail salon. Mm. And when I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that little, you know, comment sparked the light in me, you know, to do this. And so, you know, a few years later in 2013, when I moved back to Connecticut, Z Luxury happened. So, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have those examples. I wish that I did. Maybe I would have become an entrepreneur earlier on, you know? But once I did start, it was really important for me to push that narrative of Black owned, female owned, because this wasn't just about me starting my own business. It was about me showing other Black women that they could do the same thing, and that it was definitely possible, and that they could start their thing, and it didn't have to be small. It could grow and be huge. So, you know, I'm hoping that in the future, we'll continue to see more and more and more Black-owned, female-owned businesses that are thriving and doing, you know, their thing and making money, but also giving back to their community.
Absolutely. And I want to touch on kind of like your grace in class when it comes to moving through business. I feel like just as a spectator, you have a lot of business acumen, like you just know what to do. I don't know if that's, you know, what it really is or just how it comes across. I feel like a lot of people struggle being a solopreneur. You may have a skill, you may be creative, but when it comes to actually executing and having to handle some of those other sides of things, like customer service or just some of those like techie things, some people seem to struggle with that. Like they really can't get the full picture, but you seem to have always done that very well. Like your brand is kind of just founded on good customer service, quality experience. So are those things that you picked up from, you know, being in the social work world and having those corporate jobs, or is it just like something that comes naturally to you to know how to navigate that?
I think it comes from a number of different places. I think being in the social work world and understanding the importance of connecting with people on an emotional level helped me a great deal, because it eliminated the judgment that I think a lot mm-hmm. of us have. You know, people come in, they may not say the things that you want them to say, or they may have a different way of expressing themselves, which may turn you right. off. But social work has taught me that I have to be able to understand other people's perspectives and meet people where they are and have conversations, because we're all human, right? And we all have difficulties, and that's okay. And we may have challenges, and I may do something that, you know, a customer may not approve of or may not like. And so I have to make sure that they're happy, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. So right. I think that it was some from that world. And also just, I remember having a conversation with someone when I first started, and I don't know remember who the person was, but they said to always put yourself in the customer's shoes. So what would you mm-hmm. want from this experience? How would you want the person to treat you? And so that's right. how I handle everything. So what would I want if I'm having a conversation with someone about a product, or if I'm having a conversation with someone about a service, then I'm always thinking about what's going to be best for this person, what's going to be best for them, and trying to eliminate as much as I can ego. And we all have it, right? But I've done a lot of reading and a lot of self-work, so I check my ego as much as possible. Sometimes I fall off, but I try to continue to remind myself, like, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the business. Right. It's about making sure that the customer is happy and they're receiving what they deserve, not just, you know, what they're paying for, but they deserve, because they're paying for a product or paying for a service, they deserve to receive the best. So I'm going to do my best to give that to them.
Right. I agree. I think being a small business owner forces you to improve your communication Absolutely. Skills, improve how you handle things, because things are going to happen. Things may not always, you know, be 100% satisfaction, but it's more so the way we handle them. I do the same thing. It's like when I do little case studies. So I'll be on Instagram, for instance, there was someone selling mm-hmm. something, and that when people are selling things on Instagram, and I've probably even done this as well, we present it as if people already know what yes. we're talking about. So it's almost like you have to make every post as if this is a brand new person coming to your page. So I'm brand new to the person's page, and I asked the question, and they were kind of snappy, like, oh, it's in the caption. But the caption was kind of based on already having prior.
Right.
I'm new here. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. So like that gives me like, oh, I wonder if I've ever done that to someone and kind of assumed that they already knew what I was talking about. So I love the way that it just forces you to like step up your own communication
skills. Most definitely. And to really not only be on top of your communication skills, knowledge around your product and service,
right,
but also it forces you to communicate with people in a very human way, instead of being all mm-hmm. about, you know, this is my business and support me because I'm so fabulous, I'm so great, but I want you to really benefit from what I'm offering. And people can feel that, right. You know, people can feel if you're just trying to sell them something and you're just trying to push your brand, or you think you're so amazing, versus you want to help them and you want to give them something that's really going to be good for them. And you have to be able to communicate that to them.
Right. And I feel like you do that well. Again, I just feel like I'm just singing your praises. Thank you. But I really just watch. But like, for instance, right now you're selling the sea moss, and you have said like sea moss is sea moss. It's good for you. I don't care if you get it from me or one of these other five people, and you actually listed some other business owners. And I think a lot of people are scared to acknowledge other people in their industry or that are doing something similar to them because they don't want it to be taken away from them. But when you're confident in what you're doing, you have that product knowledge, to me, it makes me want to buy it from you even more, because I know that you're not just selling it just to be selling it. Like, you actually care about the value of the product. Yeah,
I think that is something that especially we as Black business owners need to really understand, the fact that there is enough money for all mm-hmm. of us. There is enough money, there's enough resources for all of us. We will excel and we will grow our businesses even more if we're willing to communicate and connect with other businesses and help support and push other businesses to the forefront. It's really important for us to have that understanding, because there are so many people in business who just feel like, you know, I got to hold on really tight to what I have. I can't let anybody else in. Yeah. I can't, you know, if I have a product, oh my God, somebody else has the same product, my business is going to, then no. As long as you are doing what you need to do the way you need to do it, you'll be fine, because everybody's going to have their own spin. They're going to have their own take on it. They're going to put their own creative juices on it to make people understand that this is your lane. This is you. I may sell sea moss and you may sell sea moss, but the way I sell my sea moss is different than you. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all live in the same space and still thrive, still make money, still encourage and support each other. And I think that that's really important for us to have to connect to. Absolutely. And start to really promote that and, you know, create these small business networks in which we're working together to help promote right. one another.
Yeah, because it's like, I want it to get to the point where all of my options are, you know, small right. businesses, and all of my options are female founders. And you just, it's right now, it's like, okay, I know a small business that does it, and then I could also right. get it at Target. I want my to be, you know, people in my community yeah. that I can see and I yeah. can speak to.
I think that's very important.
I want to talk about the cosmetology industry specifically, because I know right now, being a young woman, being a business owner, a lot of the, you know, fellow entrepreneurs that I know, they're some type of way in beauty or cosmetology mm-hmm. or something like that. And it just got me thinking, when I was growing up, I went to the hairdresser every 2 weeks. I was one of those.
Yeah.
It was those type of things. My mom didn't know how to do hair, so we were always at the hairdresser. And a Black nail tech was always like an extension of a Black mm-hmm. nail salon. Like, it was always one yes. Black nail tech in a salon. They had their own area. And now it's like, to see so many hair, you know, nail techs having their own place of business, it's just a completely new concept for me, mm-hmm. at least. That's because that's not what I saw growing up. It was never a case where you can walk into a big nail salon and it's right. Black owned, or it's, you know, it's Black friendly. It was always, you know, other cultures. So have you seen that change over the years? Like, how have you seen it evolve?
Well, in the past, I would say maybe 10 years, I believe that there has been a push for more Black women to get back into this industry, because back in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, like you said, whenever you would go into a Black hair salon, you would see one or two Black nail techs. And unfortunately, when the Vietnamese started to take over the nail industry, they pushed those nail technicians out of jobs because they were able to undercut the prices so much so that the community of, you know, people who were getting services from those nail techs decided that they would now go to the Vietnamese nail salons because of these very cheap and affordable prices.
Right.
Fortunately, things have shifted. You know, I think there's been a big push in the last 10 years in terms of supporting Black-owned businesses so that more young Black women have been going to cosmetology school and opening their own salons. I personally feel like there needs to be an even bigger push so that we can have full-fledged salons that hold 10, 12, 20 techs, you know, so that we can really compete right. in the market. Because unfortunately, when you look at the numbers right now, I would say across the country, there are about 300 Black-owned nail salons compared to hundreds and thousands of, you know, Vietnamese right. or Asian-owned. And so in order for us to really corner the market, we have to start working together to be able to build bigger salons. And I'm hoping that that's going to happen in the future. I'm really happy to see that there are so many new nail technicians, you know, coming into the business and starting their own, whether it's a small studio or a boutique nail salon. But I'm really looking forward to the day when we're able to have, you know, full-fledged nail salons that hold a number of technicians and that we have, you know, we're able to employ more women of color in the industry and keep more of those dollars that are in the nail beauty industry circulating in our community.
Right. So as far as the business side of it, I think the transformation is absolutely there. It's happening. It's happening at fast rate. There's a lot of new techs, a lot of new locations. But when you go to the flip side, the customer side, as a business owner, how do you change the customer mindset from, oh, I can get a $20 pedicure, a $12 pedicure over here, getting, you know, quality products, natural products. I'm getting a customer service feel. I'm getting a vibe in this place. Like, how do you kind of transform the client's mindset when they're already kind of stuck in that habit of paying low prices for quick service, which may not be the best service? And not to say it's not, but sometimes it isn't, and you want a different feel to your service. So in a struggle for you, I mean, you have a very big and good clientele, but had you had any issues with trying to educate people on why your salon had that value?
I mean, you said the key word is educate. You know, it's all about education. So sharing that information with them about why you would choose to come to Z Luxury and pay more for a manicure pedicure than you will going to the local Vietnamese run nail salon. So talking about not only the experience, but the quality of products and the quality of service, and understanding that you may not sway everyone, you know, right. and so there's going to be a right. certain client that says, well, that's all well and good, but this is not necessarily what I want, or may not even fit their budget, you know. And so you have to be okay with the fact that there are some people who will, you know, continue to support those salons, but you have to just continue to educate your community about why it's important for them when making a choice about a place for them to get pampered, because that's really what it is when you're going to get a manicure and pedicure, that's what it should be, that you should choose mm-hmm. a place that you know is safe, that you know is providing you with excellent service, and that is going to do its best to make sure that at the end of the day, not only are you happy and pampered, but that you're receiving a service that's using products that are not going to cause you harm.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely important. I just feel like I keep on saying this, but I really just feel like you're the perfect case study. You have really done a great job at the education side of it. You often, even beyond clients, even beyond customers, just continue to give us information about what's safe, introducing new trends and products like the CBD beauty trend. You've been heavy with that. So how do you personally stay educated? And I feel like that also builds into the value of why we pay more for certain services when we can see that the provider continues to educate themselves. How do you stay educated Absolutely. In your industry?
So I follow on social media a number of nail spas, nail salons, companies that provide products for salons. I also attend nail conferences so that I can learn new techniques, new skills, new products. I think it's really important for all business owners, no matter what your industry, to invest in your own education. If you have been doing something for 20 years and you just keep doing it the same way, you're not going to grow. So it's really important for you to always be seeking opportunities to learn more, to learn new things. And I think one of the things that I've found so helpful in business is connecting with other business owners, because they have so much information, so much knowledge. So having conversations, there's a nail technician in Atlanta, and we over the years have just formed this friendship. We met via social media, and we have conversations mm-hmm. all the time about what's happening in the industry, things that are changing, shifting. She'll introduce a new product and say, have you tried this? Check this out. So I think it's really important not only to constantly be educating yourself, but also to be connecting with other business owners, especially people in your industry who are willing to share information with you.
So with that being said, I'm thinking about this concept of having like the business bestie. So for me, my business partner is actually my best friend, but I've found lately that I've been connecting with a lot of women on social media that are business owners in that same exact way that you're talking about. So for people that are a little bit, you know, shyer, or they're trying to navigate this new space, how would you recommend for them to reach out to other people to make those connections and kind of make like these business friends without getting because some people are lazy and they'll just step to you trying to pull information. They're not really trying to build a relationship or bring value. So, you know, how do you start to make those connections if you're new to the space?
I think trying to create a relationship by just being transparent and saying what it is,
right?
You know, so whether it's sending a direct message, whether it's commenting on posts, just, you know, I think once you see that someone is following you and that they have a real interest, for me, if someone sends me a message and they're like, I want to learn about the industry, then I'm going to try to give them as much information as possible, you know, as long as I have time and I remember, because I'm getting older. So my memory, whoo, girl. but I think that you'll find that when people are confident and secure in their abilities, their skill set, their business model, they're not going to have any problem sharing with you. So as long as they have as long as they feel like your energy is right and you're coming to gain knowledge and to grow into a business, and not that you're just coming to, you know, try to get whatever you can get and walk off, then I think that people are going to be willing right. to, for the most part, willing to share. Now, there are some business owners, you know, I was on Instagram a few weeks ago, and there was a business page that they went on this whole rant about how they're so tired of people, you know, asking them about their vendors and, you know, where they get their product and this, that, mm-hmm. and the third. And I understand that to a certain extent, right? Because you put in blood, sweat, and tears, and now you're just going to give up your stuff for free? No. But at the same time, I think that for us, especially as Black female business owners, we need to connect with the fact that it's not just about your one business. It's about the fact that we need to have numerous Black-owned, female-owned businesses thriving so that our communities can do better. So our people can be in a better position financially. And if you're thinking on those terms, if you're thinking about what's good for the community versus what's just good for me and my ego in the moment, I think you're going to be more willing to share that information with others. So just reach out to people. Then if they shoot you down, then reach out to somebody else. You know, like I think just getting to the place where you're comfortable with asking the questions. If you don't ask the questions, you won't get the information, you won't get the help. So just ask. And if the first person says no, then just keep asking.
Right. And a technique that I use, if I see someone and I like the way that they do business and, you know, navigate their brand, I'll just follow them and wait for them to post some behind the scenes. Because more than likely, as a business owner, start things to post anyway. So, you know, that's a way to gather free information. And then you can kind of vet that person like, oh, they're an expert in this field. That way, when you're ready to approach them, you already know that they're, you know, knowledgeable of that topic rather than just hopping in random DMs and trying to. I'm like a little low-key IG stalker. Like, I'll follow someone, I'll follow the personal page and the brand, because I really love to see not just the business, but how entrepreneurship impacts the lifestyle side and
I love
what
that.
They show for behind the scenes. And people drop gems all the time. They'll share, you know, whatever books they're reading or what classes they have taken or what mentors they are using. So that's just the easiest way for you to get that information without even having to, you know, feel like you're burdening anyone. So with that being said, just having that spirit of like community growth, I want to go back to talking about your team, Jasmine and Kristen, and how you have, you know, developed that team over these years and what it looks like going forward for them now having the experience and opportunity to create things for themselves. A lot of people on that same, you know, wave that we were talking about, they want to have employees, but they don't really want to teach anybody anything because they feel like it's taken away from them. Whereas luxury, I can clearly see Jasmine Daly putting in work to grow something for herself while still being loyal to the Z Luxury brand. So can you speak more on what it means to develop staff and really, you know, put them in a position to do their own thing?
I don't understand why I would be a boss if I wasn't trying to create other bosses. Like, what is the point of me being a Black owned business if I am not trying to grow other Black owned businesses? To me, that's just selfish. And I love and respect Jasmine and Kristen, and I want them to grow into whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's within the beauty industry or outside of it. And so I think that for me, I know that I've had so many people in my life who have helped me to blossom into the person I am. And I would be remiss to not do that for someone else, especially someone that I love and care for. So they've done so much for me and the brand, and it's my duty to do the same for them. And at the same time, the business benefits from all of the things that they're doing, you know, all of the product that they create, all of it. And even if it's not something that's being sold in Z Luxury, the fact that people are watching them grow into business owners makes the clients and makes all of our followers say, oh, wow, it's something about Z Luxury, you know? And so that's a beautiful thing. And I want that to happen for everyone, not just my staff, but it's so amazing to me when I have clients that come in that say, you know, it's been 4 years and I've decided that after watching you and watching your staff that I'm going to start my own business. Like, that is everything. So I think that just in general, I want that for everyone, whether it's starting your own business or starting a new venture or a new hobby, whatever, whatever's going to make you happy, whatever's going to make you feel good about yourself and do better for you and your family. That's what I want. So I think that at the end of the day, I want to be able to share that with everyone, but especially the people who I hold close and dear to me. And Jasmine and Kristen, they're my family. They've been with me for 5 years and they've done so much improvement to the brand and for themselves. And it's just a beautiful thing for me to see them grow and continue to, you know, make moves for themselves and become these bosses. It's just super dope.
I love that. So having that experience and building that team, would you ever formally get into education and mentorship, or do you kind of just like managing the salon?
I would love to do that at some point. I'm, you know, at this stage trying to move the business in a few different directions, but I think that one of the components at some point in the near future is definitely going to be a mentorship program for young entrepreneurs. It's really important for me to continue to give back to my community and to give back to young Black women who want to pursue their own dreams, whether it's within the beauty industry or not. And I think that the people who are in it, you know, those are the people who have the most to share in terms of experiences, good and bad. You know, I've been through it all. I've seen all the great sides of being an entrepreneur, and I've experienced some of the heartache, you know, and so I think that it's important to share that and to help grow and foster entrepreneurship within our community. So I'm definitely moving in that direction in the very near future.
Absolutely. So not to give away too much, because that is in your plans, what would that look like for you? Are you looking to be more of like an e-educator where you're creating digital educational tools, or do you prefer to be hands-on and actually meeting with young girls and really showing them?
It's going to be a combination of the two. So the e-training, just so that I can reach a broader group, but focusing on the greater Hartford area and helping to create a platform for young women and a space for young women to be able to come to actually see how it works on the back end with the paperwork and the finances, and in the front end in the house, you know, taking care of clients. So it will be twofold: an online digital platform and also in-house for people in the greater Hartford area, young women in the greater Hartford area.
I love that. So what advice would you give, or what's something that you wish someone would have told you when you started that you feel was kind of essential to really making this whole
life and work balance, trying to like figure that out, making sure.
Girl. What's that?
taking care of yourself, doing self-care. I'm just starting to get back to that. Taking care of yourself, your family, your friends, your loved ones while still operating a business. The first 4 years, I think that, you know, unfortunately, there were a lot of personal sacrifices. And I think I know that it's really important to figure that out. And it's always going to be different. You know, it's always going to change. There are going to be moments when business kind of trumps what's happening in your personal life, or vice versa. But you have to constantly be aware of that and working towards that. And it's still a work in progress for me. Trust me. There are times when I just get so consumed and have tunnel vision. But, you know, I have to check myself and hope that the people around me check me and still are there for me and still, you know, love me. Even though, you know, I get this tunnel vision and I don't see anything else. But it's really important to take care of yourself in the process, because if it's just all about the business and you run yourself ragged, then what's the point? You know, you're not going to be able to enjoy the benefits of being a business owner, because you're dead tired and you can't spend time with family and friends because it's just all about the business. So just creating that life, you know, work balance and taking care of yourself, doing that self-care. And making sure that you have people around you that support you, you know, people that you can trust, that support you and understand entrepreneurship. Because if you're the only entrepreneur and everybody else, you know, has no idea what that world looks like, it can get tough. So, you know, connecting with other entrepreneurs, making sure you're keeping people around you that understand what, you know, you're experiencing. And then also, you know, checking yourself. I've gotten better at that, you know, so I think that is something that I have to continue to do, and we all do, just to make sure that you're not just working yourself to death, but you're also enjoying life.
What do you do for self-care? I know you're a huge traveler.
Yeah, so unfortunately, COVID has me stuck in the U.S. But traveling internationally, yoga. I've been doing yoga ever since COVID hit and we had to close the doors to the salon. I started to do a FaceTime yoga class with Braveheart Wellness, and I love it. I do it twice a week, and that has helped me immensely in terms of just being able to focus and to stay calm and light during this, you know, whole pandemic. That cooking, I love to cook. I love to read. I'm a reader. So reading, cooking, yoga, traveling, shopping, but I'm going to try to stop doing that as much. We got to keep these coins.
You know, I'm sitting online shopping. All right. So I want to get into what's kind of like a hot topic. Anytime I do like an Instagram question or poll, it's always someone that asks me this question. I kind of have my stance on it, but I'm wondering what's your opinion. People always ask, how do you deal with people around you not being supportive? You just said it's important to have a really good support system, but they ask, how do you deal with people not being supportive? And for me, I don't know if I'm just a little bit privileged or if I've just, you know, kind of curated my life in a way where I don't have any like frenemies or whatever. So I don't really experience that. So my answer is kind of like a tough love answer. Like, you're here to be a business, it's not up to people to support you. It's up to us to provide a good product and bring that value. But what's your response to a question like that?
So if the people around you are not supporting you, your friends, your family, your riders, they're not your riders, or your product is whack. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little bit of like, you have to check.
Okay. So let's dissect both parts. Let's start with those are just not the people for you. Because I think that's kind of where my response comes from so much. It quiet is kept. I've done a lot of like personal work to make sure I basically put my happiness in my own hands. Okay. I cannot this person is making me miserable. It's all on me. Mm-hmm. That dictates who I am around, who I share with, and that's why I haven't really experienced that, because I kind of designed it in a way that it works like that. So you're saying if the people around you are not supporting, then probably they're not the best people for you. So speak a little bit more about that.
Like, you have been very fortunate to have people in my life who believe in me, respect me, love me, so they are supportive of what I'm doing. In the same token, when I'm doing something that they are not feeling, they tell me. Or if it's something that they think that I need to improve, like, mm-hmm. oh, that's cool, but maybe you should do it this way. For me, that's real love. That's real support. I don't want you to just blindly say, oh, yes, girl, I love that. Let me get that. And really, at home, you're like, this is so lame. So I think that you have to be open to the criticism. You know, I want my friends and my family and my supporters to say, I like that, but maybe you should do it this way. But if you have people who are in your circle who are watching you create and promote your business and they are not dealing with you, then they may be a frenemy. There may be some issues. They may not really be your riders. And so you have to take that and do what you will with it. For me, that would mean then we no longer have this relationship, because if you can't support me and rock with me, this is the way that I feed my family, then why would I want you around? Now, go ahead.
So do you think there's opportunity to repair something like that? Because I feel like with a lot of people, it's a first-time situation. So let's say you're a first-time business owner. The people around you are not entrepreneurs. It's new for you and it's new for them. So they may see, mm-hmm. you know, this, it looks like success, or you're doing something outside of everyone's comfort zone. So do you kind of give that like benefit of the doubt? Like, oh, this person is just having difficulties dealing with these changes, but there's still opportunity for me to repair this, or to kind of just like any first bad vibe, I'm out of here.
I think that you have to always be thinking about their situation and their perspective, right? So you may come out with a new product tomorrow and your product is $55. What if they don't have the $55 to buy it, you know? So you have to think about, you have to put everything in perspective. I'm saying if this is a pattern of, you know, you've been doing this for a long time and they're not mm-hmm. messing with you, then you need to rethink things. But I think that you also have to always think about the fact that they're you don't know their situation, or you have to be mindful of what their situation is. Or maybe it's something that they have, you know, they have no interest in. So they may not purchase, but they may tell other people, or they may share your business page or your products with other folks, you know? So I think it's just having an understanding of what the support is and looking at support from all different realms. It may not be they're purchasing your product, but they may be telling other people about it, or they may be helping you in terms of giving you ideas about things that you need to do or ways to better your product. So looking at it from a number of different angles, but also, you know, giving them that opportunity so that, yeah, maybe the first time you put something out, they're not purchasing, but maybe if you put out another product, they're there. So I wouldn't say completely shut the doors down unless there's been a pattern of the fact that these people just are not supporting you. Yes.
Yeah, pattern is definitely telling what's going on. All right, so let's flip mm-hmm. to the other side of the spectrum.
Right.
The other side is your product is whack, okay? So it's very hard for people to, I think, accept that. I mean, I've been there. I've done certain things and, you know, the people mm-hmm. around me are like, well, mm-hmm. who's going to want that? Or how does that mm-hmm. work? Or they really don't get what I'm trying to do. What is the best way for people to put that ego to the side, like you said, and really be able to evaluate how they're doing things, what it is they're offering, so that they can take that constructive yeah. criticism? Because I think that's hard for a lot of people.
Being open to the fact that you don't know everything, and that everything you make or you create or you post is not amazing. So I think that we get really full of ourselves and we believe like, oh, I did that. Yeah. You know, because I've done it before and it's been so great. Everything I do is great. So just that's about checking yourself. You know, we all do it in different ways. I've recently read a book about a year ago. It's called Ego is the Enemy. And it's been very helpful mm-hmm. for me, because there have been times when, you know, I thought like, oh, I have my ego in check. And then I'm like, no, your feelings just got hurt because of what somebody said. And that was all about your ego, because what they said was absolutely on point, you know? So I think just constantly checking yourself and saying, is this really about my product? Is this really about my brand and my business? Or is this about me? Is this about making myself feel good? Am I just like looking to make sure 100 people like it, you know? So always checking yourself and being open to criticism from other people, which is hard. So I recently had an experience in which someone gave me a critique and I took it really well. And then somebody else gave me a critique and I got in my feelings. And so I had to check myself and say, you know, like, this isn't about you. And the person who gave you the criticism is really trying to help you better your product or better your brand or better your service. And so you have to always have the right intention. So if your intention is to be better, if your intention is to serve others, if your intention is for the business and not for your own personal, you know, feel good, then you'll constantly check yourself and constantly, you know, have conversations with yourself about what, how you grow and how you better your product or your service. So I just think it's just self-checking. Just keep checking yourself. Look in the mirror and just say, you are not as fabulous as you think you are, homegirl. And you got to go back.
So it sounds like, right. It sounds like self-development is really a byproduct of becoming an entrepreneur, because you learn so much about yourself, about your ego, about, like me, I can mm-hmm. tell you, I take a lot of stuff personal. I'm very sensitive. Say whether it be the tone or what you're saying, I may take it personal. So I really noticed over like the last year, I stopped yes. saying things as personally as I used to, and really try to pick like, well, what was really hearty out of this statement that I can really use to change myself and to do better. So I just feel like it's one of the best byproducts of going through this journey, because it causes you to be more mature, be more mindful, be more aware of now if those situations happen to you, like, I wouldn't want to make someone else feel like that. So how can I, you know, do it differently when I say it or when I critique? So it just all around really provides.
Absolutely. I am a much better human being now after being in business for 7 years than I was 7 years ago. This really, like, it forces you to check yourself. It forces you to grow. It forces you to think about others. The longer you're in it, the better you become, you know? And so I think that, yeah, you want to be in business to grow financially and to be able to, you know, build a brand that's going to last the test of time, but you also want to grow personally. And there is, you know, no better tool than being an entrepreneur, because it's going to force you to be in situations that may be super uncomfortable that you've never been in before. It's going to force you to deal with things up front. And I think that I've definitely grown, and I've seen the people around me, you know, who are entrepreneurs grow in a way that's just, it's a beautiful thing. And it's, you know, it's a struggle. Don't get me wrong. There are days when you want to pull all your hair out and I don't have any hair. But, you know, you got to keep going, and it feels really good at the end of the day. Just having conversations like this, you know, just being in a space where you can connect with someone who's also an entrepreneur and talk about all of the things that come with the territory. So,
Well, Kendra, do you have any questions?
I just want to say I am so proud of you and all that you are accomplishing. I just, you know, I watch you, I love you, I like, I share. I think that it's just beautiful to see that you are, you know, continuing on your journey and, you know, helping other young women to see, like, how dope being an entrepreneur can be, and the fact that you are constantly, you know, engaging with other entrepreneurs is a beautiful thing, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it really has, like, been just this podcast is like therapeutic for me, because I feel like entrepreneurship, being a small business owner, being a solopreneur, it can be very isolating. And you kind of start to feel like, you know, people don't understand. Luckily for me, like I said, I'm in business with my best friend, but that's just one other person. So creating these platforms where now I'm connecting with people who are not just only trying to run a business, but trying to really incorporate that into their lives, and seeing how, you know, being an entrepreneur changes that, it really just has been therapeutic for me. I'm on like a year long, we're coming up on August again, but last August is really when I just kind of had like this mental, like, something different has to happen. And I started going to therapy and doing different things, making different decisions, left my job in January. So I'm really just looking forward to, like, my birthday's in August. So I consider that my personal new year. Really, when August rolls around, I can really reflect back on these episodes and some of the relationships I've built from, you know, really taking this journey more serious, and just having people like you that I can look up to, like, you're like a mentor in my head. There's so many examples. Right. I just want people to know that it's possible. Very not possible. Easy.
Awesome. But I love that. Very possible, and I think that's one of the things that we should touch on is therapy. Therapy is amazing. I go to therapy and I need it, and it helps us grow. And especially for entrepreneurs, we're dealing with so much. So I think that that is a narrative that we need to continue to push. You know.
Absolutely. It's funny because I got a phone call like a month ago, and a person was telling me like some gossip or something that I was supposedly involved in, and I was just laughing. Right. They were like, "Are you okay? You're just laughing." I said, "Yeah, I really don't care." Like, I said, "Look at my therapy working." Like,
I love it. And you can't, you can't be a business owner and be messy. You can't be a business owner and be involved in gossip. Because that is going to affect your bottom line, and you have to always think about that and thinking about, you know, being the bigger person, you know, like Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high. Yes, ma'am.
It's hard because sometimes, but it definitely, so like I said, just be a better person. So let everyone know where
you
can
find us on Instagram at @ZLuxuryBrand. You can find us on Facebook, same place, @ZLuxuryBrand. And that's it. Oh, and online, the website is www.zluxurybrand.com.
Perfect. And with all of the new products that you've been putting out during the pandemic, which one would you say is the most
they should run out and get the healing serum. Right now we are in COVID, so everybody's at home. They can't get their nails done. They took off their acrylic, their gel, whatever, and their nails look a hot mess. I know because I've seen so many pictures. And the All Natural Healing Serum is amazing. It works wonders. It smells good. It's good for your nails. It's good for your skin. If you have any issues with any, like, you know, fungal or bacteria or just like brittle, damaged nails, the nail serum, the healing serum is going to bring your nails all the way back.
I'm logging right now. Order
me here. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you again. You can always at She's Basically on Instagram, shesbasically.com. And like I said, the COVID podcast schedule is all over the place. So hopefully I'll be back in another couple of weeks. See you guys soon. We'll be right back.